All right. Well, God bless you all. I trust that everything is well. You're hearing us well. And again, we're just so thankful to be able to do these fellowships. I know I speak on behalf of Daniel Woods, Al Segovia, Bob Lindfeld, myself, and Vicky and Jeannie and whomever else, all the believers in California and Oklahoma and everyone who participates, most especially for you all who are just so so faithful in what you do in participating and your giving to the ministry as well. So tonight, what I want to talk about, and then I'm going to bring someone else online as a who has a practical example that I wanted them to be able to share. But I've called this teaching the road to excellence, because although we do have the Spirit of God within us, we're still on a path. We're on a journey. And generally, when you're going somewhere, it requires you to do something. And I know many of you have these little devices on your wrists, and they count. What do they count, Vicky?
What
do they count when you walk?
Steps.
They count your steps. So, yeah, that's part of what you're doing when you're on a journey. So the road to excellence is a journey. And, you know, I wanted to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 18 especially, because Paul makes a really remarkable statement here that really was quite revealing and, like I said, quite remarkable, because he was talking in to the Corinthian church, and he said in verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. That's the ESV version. The other one, another one, I think King James says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And I thought about that today, and I thought, that's quite a statement for him to have the confidence to speak out about just the habitual time that he had spent cultivating that resource as one of the manifestations of Holy Spirit, which are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we aren't going to look at them all tonight, but we're going to get focused, I think, more on what speaking in tongues is. And it's one of nine manifestations or evidences that an individual receives when they get the gift of Holy Spirit. And you get the gift of Holy Spirit, or you get baptized with the Holy Spirit the moment you get born again. But it is up to the individual to determine, especially with speaking in tongues, whether or not they're going to exercise that right and ability that they have, which really is exactly what speaking in tongues is. It is a God-given ability. And we can let that manifestation, that evidence of Holy Spirit, just remain dormant, kind of like a seed you just put in the ground and it never sprouts and never grows. Or we can facilitate and give that resource of Holy Spirit some opportunity to really grow and to develop, like it would be with anything that we might participate in. If you're a piano player or a guitar player, if you're good at doing this and that, like me, I love to play disc golf. And I started a couple of years ago. And you know what? As I progressed and played a little bit more, sometimes I come home with a happy face and I say, you know what, Vicky, I feel like I've really improved. And that partly is a result of doing it, of participating in something and getting really good at it. And that's why I wanted to ask our brother, George Evans. He has been telling me about a particular activity that he's been involved in, he and someone else, but I'll let him tell the story, and I think you'll begin to really get the picture here. So, George, I'm going to take you off mute, and then go ahead, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Barney. Well, 5 weeks ago, my older brother, Gil, called me very stressed out, and he said, I've had enough. I'm ready to quit this game of golf. And he's been at it about 40 years, and And I've worked with him countless times over the years, and I heard in his voice this time, it was like, you know, he was asking me for his help. And I thought, you know, my first thought was, okay, Lord, how do we deal with this? And I quietly thought, okay, I'm going to be still and know that I am. I'm going to go to the Lord and see if he can give me directions. And as I did that, I came up with a new strategy with my brother Gil. My brother Gil puts a lot of stress on himself. He doesn't take compliments very well, and it's just at times very, very difficult to deal with. So the first time we went out, I tried a whole different approach with him, and it was, for me, it was just a baby step for him, and that's where we needed to start. And step by step, it was like, okay, there's some confidence building up, and it's, I could see it every Wednesday we would meet, and you know, I would feel that, okay, he's understanding it from the previous week, so I made it as simple as I could. And this past week, I tried something totally different with him, and it finally resonated with him. And to see him hit a golf ball, if you've ever played golf before, it can be quite frustrating. And he's one that puts a lot of pressure on himself. And we were at a driving range when a lot of these mats, you know, they're stacked side by side, so you see people hitting balls. And unfortunately, we were next to a guy that was, he almost seemed like he was a professional. And he was making it look so easy. And I wanted my brother Gil to understand that even though this young man had developed a great game, it was his persona. He was very relaxed. And the first thing I spoke to my brother about was, okay, you need to breathe. You need to relax. Because he was always holding his breath. So we dealt with that. And then we just, again, started to build on something. So this past week, I tried something with him that actually worked, and it clicked. And I've never seen him so excited. And it blessed me, because I wanted it in the worst way for him, and yet, you know, he was the one that had to produce. I could only take him so far, and it was his perseverance that was key, just like in everything in life. But the point is that it was baby steps, and it was also me going to the Lord with some kind of a plan. And I just, today, my brother called me this morning, and his voice, he was so excited, and he, in his excitement, I you know, my energy went sky high. And I, having been in special ed teaching for 15 years, everyone's different, and I in that position, I always had to look at the situation and realize, okay, I got to be calm, but at the same time, I got to look at that individual and understand the stress that they're in. And with my brother Gil, he's going to play golf this Saturday, and I told him I see him calling me on Saturday evening and just giving me a great report. So I wanted to share that with you, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you, George. That's just so cool, man. And that, of course, right there in and of itself could be a number of teachings. But, you know, it's like anything in life. To excel in anything, any endeavor in life, it's going to require something of us. Now, we receive spiritually the gift of Holy Spirit, the things that we have received and blessed with, we receive by grace, yes, absolutely. But we have to continue to have a great desire within us to be the best version of ourselves that we can possibly be. We can't rely on someone else to give us that. You know, success is not something that others can give to you. And George, that's a great example of being able to give practical instruction. It's like, here, this is how you do it. I'll take you by the hand and lead you to this place of practical application, let's say. But that person is the one that's going to have to do it. It's like us learning how to speak in tongues. Many of us learned how to speak in tongues a number of years ago. Maybe for some of you it was last week or whatever. The reality is, speaking in tongues, it's the evidence or the proof that we're born again. Do you have to speak in tongues to prove you're born again? Obviously, there are millions of Christians who do not speak in tongues, and yes, they are born again. But for us who are knowledgeable of what the scriptures say, it's a beautiful thing. And I believe someone once said, if we knew how much speaking in tongues did for God, it would how it just melts God's heart, we would do it all the time. So we have to have a desire to be the best version of ourselves. And number two, we have to have a willingness to do whatever's necessary to become that person. You know, if George's brother Gil was not willing to meet him out at the driving range, you know what? He would be frustrated and maybe give up. And that's why we have these fellowships. That's why we have these teachings, to encourage and to exhort one another. And that's why I wanted to call this tonight the road to excellence, because it is a step-by-step process. And it could be applied, obviously, to a number of different topics. But tonight, I wanted to encourage you and myself to practice. What are all these athletes, what are all these people doing who are excelling in something and being successful? You know what? They're practicing. They're in training. They're developing, see. And as we do these things, we're going to get better, and the things we practice or train ourselves to do will ultimately become habitual. But for now, however, let's talk about the benefits. Let's talk about the benefits. Because we humans, we always like to know what we're going to get, what we're going to get first, okay, before we're willing to even exert a lot of energy or maybe any effort for that matter. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians here a little bit, chapter 14 again in verse 2. Here's one of the great benefits that we understand to know about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, or he that speaketh in a tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto whom? Unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." You know what the great benefits of speaking in tongues is? It is a spiritual language that God understands, and they are words that we would never be able to be verbalized in our English language or whatever language it is you speak as your primary language. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual language, and it's speaking words that you are speaking directly to God. I mean, if we just stopped right there and just realized every time that we speak in tongues, we're speaking directly to God. But hey, wait, there's other cool benefits. Verse 4, let's look at this. It says, "But he that speaks in a tongue," now the word unknown is italicized, and so we know that that's been added to the text by the translator. So let's just say, "He that speaketh in a tongue edifies whom? Himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church." Verse 5, look at this. "I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy." And then it goes into a comparison about prophecy and speaking in tongues. But speaking in tongues, it edifies us. It builds us up spiritually. You know, the world or others may try to tear you down, destroy you, but that active presence of God's Spirit within you will strengthen you and encourage you in spiritual ways that have got to be unknown to us. It's speaking secrets and mysteries, divine secrets to God. It's a two-way street. So we speak to God, and He speaks to us. And then it edifies you. It builds you up, big and strong. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, when the folks first spoke in tongues, it says they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. It magnifies God. Acts 10:46 says it speaks the wonderful works of God. It magnifies God. It speaks the wonderful works of God. It's perfect prayer. Let's look at that. Acts chapter, Romans chapter 8. This is all just an encouragement for you to do it, to take that road, take a step down that road of excellence and get good at it. I mean, the reason George is instructing his brother is so that his brother gets better. The reason I play disc golf, even though I might have frustrating moments, is because I want to get better. And I'm willing to put forth the effort to do whatever it takes to see that happen. Same thing true with spiritual matters. We put ourselves in a position to make up our minds, hey, I'm believing what Barney is saying tonight about this is what speaking in tongues does. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's kind of old English language. But basically, the bottom line is, many times we don't know what to pray for. So, you know what? We make intercession by way of the Spirit. We don't have the time to develop it all tonight. I'm going to be teaching on Sunday on the conference call in the San Diego Fellowship, and I may continue to develop this topic about the road to excellence. Maybe not just speaking in tongues, because there's a lot of topics that can fall under in this category. But you know what? A lot of times we don't know what to pray for. So you know what we always know the right thing to do is? We can speak in tongues. And it says that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In verse 27, he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, you know, maybe it's not so much in our ballpark to have to determine what it is we're going to make speaking in tongues do. Why don't we just speak in tongues and allow God to do what God is good at doing and putting it in that place where it needs to be at any given point in time? I know in the past we've kind of had this thought about holding an image of somebody in mind or reading through a list and speaking in tongues, and I'm not negating that. But also that speaking in tongues, the spiritual language that we speak, you know what? God can get whatever's needed to whomever needs it, and may more likely not even be somebody we know. Could be a missionary in Romania, in some third world country that we don't even know, but he needs assistance. He needs intercession. See? So it's perfect prayer. It speaks the wonderful words of God. It magnifies God. It edifies you. It builds you up. It strengthens you. It verifies that you are a child of God right here in Romans chapter 8. Let's go back to verse 16. It says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I taught on that a couple of weeks ago. Heirs of promise. We inherit the full inheritance of all that's been given to us in the will of God. It's just so amazing. But that spirit, we can't. You remember Bob Linfeld wrote a great book on speaking in tongues, if you haven't gotten a copy or seen it. But it has a subtitle in there. It's something like the most misunderstood and the most misused or underused benefit to the Christian believer, because the enemy is always trying to get us distracted from doing it. Because one of the great benefits, which is in John 4:24 and Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, is that speaking in tongues, that spiritual language, that speaking to God, offers praise, perfect praise. Our hearts, our minds, our thoughts can't get involved. And so we just lift our hearts to God in praise and worship in a language that God Almighty invented and God Almighty understands. I don't know why the apostles spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. You don't either. But it's something that was the proof in the census world that these fellows were born again and that they had received the power of the Spirit. And then in other records in the book of Acts, when people got born again, received the Spirit, they also spoke in tongues. Why did God have a speaking in tongues introduced into the world? I have no idea. But I would assume God had, well, I think God had his reasons and his purposes, because it's definitely not something that man can get involved in and make a mistake with. Let's just have the desire, have the determination, and have the willingness to speak in tongues, because it does give perfect praise. It does give perfect worship. And according to Ephesians 3:16, let's look at that one. That's a great topic. I mean, it's hard not to get kind of pumped up in talking about this. And I asked George specifically to share that example of he and his brother and the instructions that he's been giving, because I think it's so applicable to what we're talking about here. His brother is on the road to excellence in a particular endeavor in the census world. Okay? All right. Cool. I mean, I pray and trust, and I know George does too. And maybe now that you've heard about it, you want them to be a success too. Well, I want you to be a success. I want you to have victory in your life spiritually. And if you don't know how to speak in tongues, then somebody you know can help you to manifest the power from on high. It's not shrouded in mystery anymore. It is something that is, I'll just say, relatively simple once you've been fully instructed to learn how to do it. And then, man, you're just going to want to do it all the time. Maybe you'll be the next one to say, I speak in tongues more than y'all. It's a good challenge for ourselves. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, there's a verse here that says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know, that Spirit of Christ within, when it is energized, it strengthens us. It brings to us something that we cannot manufacture in our own strength. All right, take a deep breath. You know, to me, speaking in tongues, it's a reassurance that God loves me unconditionally. And that he's given me the victory. And that, in other words, no matter what, it is a reinforcement of that verse in 1 John 4:4 that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You want to look, shall we look at it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You know it. Many of you. If not, it's a good one to know. 1 John 4:4. I'll give you just a second. Speaking in tongues is a reassurance that God loves us unconditionally. God loves me unconditionally. He's given me the victory. Somebody once said, when you speak in tongues, it's proof positive in the census world that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to do it. So we're celebrating the resurrection when we speak in tongues. Look at 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. That's that inner man. That is the one who's being strengthened. He's being built up. He's being edified. He is the real you. The old man is dead, gone, crucified, got rid of him. Now it's the new man. Remember Colossians chapter 3? Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's the real us. That's who we really are. And the way we nourish and strengthen and are strengthened is by the exercise of at least one of these manifestations that we're focusing on here tonight, the manifestation of speaking in tongues. I wanted to go back to Romans chapter 8 and read a verse with you in closing. Always been, I think, a favorite of many of us. And it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, where it says, Nay, not a word we use a lot. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What things? Well, if you go back a few verses, it talks about us. Talks about it. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or mental pressure, distress, or let's just say stress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? You know, maybe we could substitute our own giants in there. Loneliness, fear, worry, doubt, temptation. Are any of these things so strong that they can separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 37, it says, no, in all of these things, and the Phillips translation says, in all of these things, we are winning an overwhelming victory through him who has proved his love for us. We are winning. We win. We have the victory, but we're still on that road. We're moving down step by step. We're getting better at doing this. And that's why it's such a blessing to remind ourselves of some of these great benefits. Because, heck, half the time we can't figure out what's going on. You know, I recommend tonight, speak in tongues much. Speak in tongues more than you've ever spoken in tongues before. And I think you will realize that there are some wonderful, wonderful benefits that when you take your hands off of it and give it to God and speak to God in a language that he understands, that you will be the recipient of something that is just so, so awesome. Blessing and strength spiritually. Whew, man. Just makes me want to say hallelujah. But when I speak in tongues, that's exactly what I am saying. I'm magnifying God. I'm giving glory to God. I'm thanking God. I'm magnifying God. It's something that the inner man can shout about in a way that he can shout about it. So let's do it, shall we? Let's do it. Got something else here I want to play for you. And then we'll close out and have some manifestations, okay?
I know what I've got. Holy Spirit. done. Gave His Holy Spirit, and then they spoke in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, showed the Comforter had come.